Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Everyone, and welcome to the season ender, season 9 of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And Bishop Ben.
Blessings to all.
It's been an interesting season. We've had a lot of great podcasts over the season. And we got a bunch of things lined up for next season already. There have been some great suggestions that have come in from our audience. We're going to have an episode on disabilities and how to work with disabled individuals and things to say and not say to disabled individuals. And we're going to try to work out an episode with a dear mutual friend of Reverend Mark and mine, Dr. Marquita Bird, on the spirituality of Star Trek. That's going to be an excellent episode, if we can get that worked out.
So since this is the last episode, can we do of the season, we should do like they do in some television shows, do a cliffhanger.
A cliffhanger?
Leave the audience with a question, and like, that's a perfect question. We have exactly the answer you need to hear.
And go silent. Like the Sopranos, the screen goes dark. Yeah, we could do that.
And blame Bishop Ben. Bishop Ben's idea.
That's
right.
Fine.
Right.
That worked for me.
So we've had 9 good seasons. We started off with reviving this podcast. For those that don't know, Father David Jennings and myself had a podcast by the same name. Oh my God, probably 12, 15 years ago. And we did about a year and a half worth of episodes nonstop, no breaks.
Oh, wow.
And we interviewed authors and we had discussions about issues facing people in that day and time. We had some of the people opposing SB 1070 on our podcast. For those that don't remember, that was the Arizona law that would deport anybody that looked to be an illegal alien. Mm-hmm. It eventually got struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court.
I thought that was going to go anywhere.
That was terrible. They enforced it for a while. What was that guy's name? Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Sheriff Joe.
He was a big proponent for that law, and he deported hundreds, if not thousands, of people before it was struck down by the Supreme Court. And in subsequent years, about 50% of the people he deported were found to have been American citizens that they deported into Mexico. So.
Wasn't he also the sheriff that had the tent city out there?
He was, yeah.
That's what I thought. And feeding prisoners for 10 cents a day?
Right.
Yep, I remember that.
If I'm not mistaken, the Supreme Court ruled that the tent cities were cruel and unusual punishment.
Yep, because it was so hot out there.
They had to shut them down.
Yep.
Yeah, Arizona heat. Tents, okay. Mm-hmm. That's a no-brainer.
No air conditioning, no nothing, and
no
pink prisoner jumpsuits.
Yep, I remember that.
And pink underwear, with pink underwear.
Yep. Pink t-shirts, pink socks.
Yeah, I got pink shorts on.
So. Yeah, but he did it because he claimed that people were fighting over their underwear and stuff, and clothes, and so he had them all dyed pink. so that nobody would fight over them. It's like, whatever. So it was bad. And so we had some of the people who were fighting SB 1070, fighting against Joe Arpaio on our show back then. It was a interesting podcast. And they're still online for those that would like to dig back through Apple's archives of podcasts. They're there still.
I found some of them. They're pretty good.
And so, but we revived the podcast 9 seasons ago, and it's been going strong ever since. And like I said, we've got a good 10th season coming up, I hope. I'm looking forward to the Star Trek stuff, I tell you what.
Me too.
Speaking of Star Trek, I saw something very, very interesting yesterday in my perusing of the internet. Mark and I we like playing Magic the Gathering. There is a guy who has created an entire commander deck of Star Trek for Magic the Gathering.
Yep.
And it includes, you can choose from either the original series, next gen, DS9, or Voyager.
Wow.
For your deck.
That'd be a tough choice.
So,
Voyager.
Probably TNG for me.
I was thinking TNG too, but and of course it's a non-sanctioned deck, but he has them, and I'm gonna print them out. He's got them set up so you can print them and play with them yourselves.
Nice.
And so it's a very interesting deck, so I'm gonna print them and see how that turns out. Get some good card stock and print them on.
You do realize Friday with the thing of Bell Riots, right?
Right. Right.
From DS9?
Right.
Well, tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, yeah, September 1st.
Yeah, but when they went back to the actual point, they landed on Friday.
Yeah, they landed Friday and the riots were on Sunday.
Yep.
And so they arrived in the past yesterday and the Bell Riots are tomorrow.
Yep. We're going to soon see.
Yeah, as much as I'm loath to say it, we're at least not that bad yet.
No.
But
although there's parts of, I don't know exactly where it is, so I'm not gonna throw it out there. But there are places that have those sanctuary districts.
Sanctuary City. Yep.
Yes, the sanctuary districts. Yep. I can't remember where that is either, right off the top of my head, but it's one of the bigger cities. Yeah, have those sanctuary districts. So who knows? We could see the Bell Riots tomorrow.
That would be.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. What? What is our topic tonight? I didn't even ask.
Q&A.
It's a Q&A season ender kind of recap. So. The season finale kind of ends up being just about anything. So
I'm sitting here thinking, well, I'm waiting for somebody to get to our topic. But
well, this is our topic, I guess. So I finished DS9.
Yep.
I guess I never watched the final episode. You know, it was very sad.
Yeah,
it was.
It's actually a very sad
episode. It was a very sad episode with everybody saying goodbye to everybody and
the ending shot.
And Sisko dying and the ending shot of the space station.
The thing is Sisko really dead?
Right. He kind of leaves that open-ended.
Temple, I believe.
There was a lot of people thinking that in the third season of Picard, that would be a part of the story.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in the trailer, the teaser trailer, Picard Season 3, I know everybody tuned in to hear this, Picard Season 3, there is a Bajoran stone that is in Picard's study.
Right.
In its show. So Yeah, it's very open-ended, but yeah, it was very sad because, like you said, everybody is leaving. There's, you know, that main cast gets broken up. It's definitely not like Next Gen or Voyager. But that series was very much edgy for what Star Trek is.
Right.
They broke a lot of the rules, pushed them pretty hard. So I think it's inappropriate for the
it series. Was.
But it was a, you know, and you were like, oh, I love those, I love that character. Oh, I love that. Oh, they're leaving.
Right.
Yeah. So,
I always believed that Sisko went to the temple, the Celestial Temple.
Yeah.
So, and then I started rewatching a series that got very little notice or acclaim called Stargate Universe.
Yeah.
I watched the Stargate movie, but I never watched any of the Stargate.
Oh my, you're missing out.
Yeah, but it makes me mad at how it ended.
You're missing out if you haven't watched Stargate the series. Richard Dean Anderson's in it, of course. And
is that the guy that's what else does he play?
He was MacGyver.
Yeah, MacGyver. Yep.
Yeah. And he
could build a nuclear weapon with paperclip and some coffee.
And the interesting thing is in Stargate SG-1. He's totally an inept person when it comes to technology and stuff.
I think for them to not make everybody think, oh, this is MacGyver in a different universe, they probably had to do that.
Right. Right. And so it's a great series. Universe, for those that don't know, the Stargate Command discovers that there's a ninth chevron that can be opened on the Stargate, and it leads them to a ancient Asgard ship, and it has been traveling for over 1 million years in the universe. They are hundreds of galaxies away from the Milky Way on this ship, and there's no way back to Earth. Because the ship doesn't have the power to dial the ninth chevron for them to go back to Earth.
How many seasons?
I think it had 2 seasons.
Yeah, 2. It ended weird.
It ended very weird. They decided just not to renew it and at the last minute. Fame.
Speaking of
finished it.
Series.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch Sequest DSP?
Oh, yes. I remember Sequest.
Talk about a series that went weird.
That was weird.
It started off really cool. But...
And having the guy from Jaws in it kind of was a little weird, too. You know, you kind of expected a shark to show up and start gnawing on him.
Wow.
And then by the, third season? They had him as kind of like not the enemy, but the antagonist.
Yeah.
It was very, very weird.
It was strange.
And so it did. I had a huge, because I was basically the same age as the actor when the show was on. That was Jonathan Brandis.
Oh, yes.
Of course. I think he committed suicide.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I've watched that. That's why I watched Sequest. He was so hot to me.
Sequest was a good series. It's kind of like the Star Trek Under the Sea.
Right.
It really was.
It was pretty cool. Had some good episodes. They had one episode where they dove to this sunken ocean liner that was very similar to Titanic.
Right.
And it still had air pockets in it, and people had lived for a period of time in it before they died, and it was very interesting because I'm a huge Titanic fan, or
yes,
dissector of anything Titanic. Me too. So,
another series that came out around the same time that didn't get a lot of acclaim, and I liked it, was a series called Mantis.
I remember seeing that.
I never watched it, but I
it was a wonderful series. It didn't do so hot. I think it lasted a season, maybe two if it was lucky. And it was basically a quadriplegic scientist who developed this suit that allowed him to walk again. And he basically kind of became a superhero, as it were, after that. And it was kind of an interesting series, but it just never caught on.
Were you ever an X-Files person?
Oh, God, yes. I watched every episode of the X-Files, the movies, everything.
The first movie they did was weird.
My favorite on the X-Files was Gillian Anderson. I had a huge crush on Gillian Anderson.
She was an excellent actress.
So...
didn't they do the movie but kept doing the series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, David Duchovny, after he left X-Files, his career kind of spiraled out of control. He ended up into drugs and some other stuff, and then ended up on Californication. And
it's kind of an interesting series to have gotten typecasted in.
It was.
It wasn't like a Mr. Spock or Data type casting or Harry Potter.
Well, and Gillian Anderson, I mean, she's done a few things since then, but most recently she was on the series Hannibal as the psychiatrist for Hannibal Lecter.
She also played Margaret Thatcher in The Crown.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She did an excellent Margaret Thatcher.
I could see that.
I've seen her do Margaret Thatcher, and then of course, I can't believe her name just went right out of my head. She was the lead she's done so much. She's the lead actress in Devil's Wear Prada. Why did her hair, I feel like a bad gay now, not being able to.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of her name.
Anyway, she did Margaret Thatcher as well, portrayed her very well. I cannot believe that her name just went right out of my head.
I can picture her. I can't think of her name now. But
Gillian Anderson. It's Anderson, right?
Yeah, Gillian Anderson. Yeah.
She's excellent.
She was amazing. She's an amazing actress. And, but she kind of got typecast, too, by X-Files. I mean, and pretty much everybody who was in that series got kind of typecast.
Meryl Streep,
good yeah.
Good Lord. To go in for renewal of my gay card.
Right? but those were some good series back in the day. You know, they keep reviving old series for new runs, and I would love to see some of those come back and give us an update, as it were.
Well, they're making a new NCIS, bringing back Jethro Gibbs.
Oh, Lord.
Speaking of NCIS, a series that was on for a while that is unusual for me because I generally don't like drama, mysteries type series. I usually like fantasy stuff. But I started rewatching JAG. Anybody ever watch JAG?
I love JAG.
Oh, yeah, JAG.
So I started...
Catherine Bell.
Yeah.
My girlfriend.
And David, what's his name? Played Harm.
I like him, too.
Yeah, he was good. It's funny because in that series, he's at his best when he is filled with indignation towards something.
Right.
Yeah.
He can give some powerful lines. I've watched a few the last few days. He'll just rattle off and give some of those just very thought-provoking lines.
Right.
And he's definitely pretty. he's usually kind of goofy in the, you know, whatever, but when he zones into that JAG attorney, he'll, it's very, very good. That's a series that I'd forgotten about till I was scrolling through Max the other day a few weeks ago and saw it.
There's a series that I get snippets of every so often in Reels when I'm scrolling through Reels. I've never watched the series itself, but it's got some really interesting episodes. And that's Boston Legal.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
William Shatner.
William Shatner is in it, yeah. And
always smoking cigars.
He, they have some really impactful episodes where, you know, the attorneys give some really impassioned, you know, pleas to the court. And I just think that's absolutely amazing. I never got into the series before, but it's been showing up on my Reels a lot lately, and so I thought I would, I might get into it at some point and watch it through.
One of the lead actors that played alongside Shatner was the lead scientist in the movie Stargate. I forget his name.
Oh, yeah.
He also played in...
I'd forgotten about that.
The Blacklist.
Yeah.
That's a good series. If you like those mystery stuff.
I do. I tried watching, what was that series called? There was one that CBS did a few years ago. There was a bombing in New York City, and these rookie FBI agents, one of them is supposedly working with the terrorists, and I got into it, but it didn't last long. It lasted, I think, a season and a half, and I canned it. But that's the big problem nowadays, is a lot of TV series don't make it past the first season. Or if they do, they end up canned, you know, mid-season.
Yeah. And that's what's sad, because you get into it, and then you're really liking it, and then they'll make it anymore.
Well, I think a lot of the, you know, all these series we're talking about, like JAG, Star Trek, those went 7-10 seasons.
Yep.
And they were doing 24 episodes
a season. Right.
Correct.
And, you know, there was a lot more emphasis placed on character development.
Yes, indeed.
And now you're at a place where they're doing 10 to 12 episodes a season. You know, like a Star Trek series, the newer stuff. And they're putting a lot of money into the graphics and stuff like that, which I have no problem with, especially on a series like Star Trek. But there's very little character development with stuff.
Right.
And there's a recent modern, a recent series that's been out that is doing that. They're really developing character. It's based on a book. It's A Wheel of Time.
Yes.
They spend a good bit, and I think probably because it's a book series, although that's not always a given that they take the material from the book and develop it.
Right.
Most of the time they just butcher the crap out of it. So it's very important to me to character develop, and I think that's where a lot of series miss it. Is they just don't spend time developing stuff so that you can, you know, if a character dies, you're like, oh my gosh.
Right.
They did one of those in Strange New Worlds where they killed off a predominant character of the first season. And for the first time, I found myself tearing up on a TV show. It's like, oh, wow. But they had spent time developing that character. So,
the blind engineer, he was so amazing. And that was a tearjerker. He sacrificed himself for the crew.
Yeah.
And that was That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. But Strange New Worlds, great series. If you haven't checked it out, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, it's a great series. It's coming back for its next season, I think, in January.
That sounds about right.
So they've been teasing the I think it's the third season now.
I think it was supposed to originally have been released in the fall, but due to the writer's strike, like everything else, it got pushed back.
Right. Right.
So that puts back a lot of series like Frasier, Lopez versus Lopez. They got pushed back. A lot of them got pushed back.
Yeah.
I don't like that series because the series it really goes back to the roots of Star Trek, where Star Trek was never scared in the original series, in Next Gen, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, to explore complex subjects from various angles.
Right.
And I like Strange New Worlds because it has a lot of, it's got a nice balance of representation there.
It does.
And it's just, they write it to where it's just every day. They don't overemphasize certain things. They just have people being themselves, and I think that's where a series needs to be. You know, we're looking for equality in the world, we're believing for equality in the world, and then when we see series like that, when you have the equality, you don't have to sit there and overemphasize those things. You just show it as this is natural life. Everybody is a part of the team. Everybody's the same.
Right.
Everybody is who they are, and you can go on to explore those complex questions. And Next Generation, they had the first non-binary individual in television. They addressed that,
right?
And that was in the 90s. But it was in such a way that, it was just normal. It was just, it was an episode. It wasn't so in your face. It was just, here's someone different and, the outside culture looking in, trying to understand. And, I think now there's a lot of overemphasis of certain things.
Right.
And it doesn't get people thinking, it just immediately turns them off.
Right.
And what we should do is have people pondering certain aspects of life and pondering certain questions in life and, let it take them instead of just trying to slap people upside the head and say, you will think this way.
Right. Right.
When it's a foreign concept to folks, you've got to sometimes ease folks into it and walk them into it. Yeah.
Well, see, one has to wonder too. If remember Commander Data when he had his daughter. Well, in the beginning, it was not male or female. He was gonna let the individual decide whether it's gonna be female or male. That was the first transgender person there on the. That came out of that episode.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I like series such as Star Trek that will address some of those questions and do it in the character of the show to where it's very natural. One of the famous episodes in the original series is the show where you had the two men that were, one was part white, the other was part black.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
But, they were sitting and talking to Captain Kirk in one of the conference rooms and says, do you understand why we're at odds with each other? Why we're unique? And Captain Kirk says, well, one part of you is white, one part of you is black. And he says, the guy pipes up and says, no, I'm black on the left side. They're white on the left side and black on the right side. And it was just that they were basically the same, but just different slightly. And, you know, episodes like that were, and again, this is in the 60s where they're hitting racism head on.
Right.
But you don't realize it because it's done in such a way that it's, you know, there's an alien race and they're talking about these universal, you know, conundrums. I think it's, I like shows like that. I don't feel like we get there anymore with a lot of shows because everybody just, they want to skip to the end.
Right.
Instead of building the bridge to get there.
Right. That's so true. And Star Trek was very much unique in its look at the world. I mean, they had the first interracial kiss on television. I mean,
yeah,
that was unheard of.
Well,
you know.
And Gene Roddenberry wanted to represent the whole world in that,
right,
in that little bridge. And that's why you had the different races, the different ethnic backgrounds. If you notice, the series would put minorities in high-ranking positions.
Right.
They may not have been on screen a lot, but you'd have admirals and commodores that were African-American, that were Latino, that were Asian.
There were women.
They had women in prominent. They had women not just doing clerical work in the background somewhere.
Right.
They had women scientists, women doctors, and the series was overly, you know, Caucasian for the most part, but Gene was pushing at the time, was pushing that envelope very hard to try to integrate. And of course, there's the famous story of Nichelle Nichols, who played Lieutenant Uhura,
right,
who ran into Dr. King at a rally, and she had told him she was leaving the show. And he was like, no, you can't do that. You're there every week representing all of us. So it was very, you know, and then they just continued that on in subsequent series.
It's always nice, too, to see in Strange New Worlds the younger versions of some of the original series, you know, to see the young Uhura and Spock and Kirk and his brother, which doesn't get a lot of mention.
Oh, I love the lady that they have cast to play Lieutenant Uhura. She's very, very strong actress, great actress.
She spent time with Nichelle Nichols. One of the, I don't remember what it is, but some piece of jewelry or some prop that she uses in the episode, Nichelle Nichols gave her.
Yeah.
And so she wears it in every episode.
But Nichelle always had beautiful jewelry, earrings. The lady, I'm trying to remember her name. I can't believe I forgot her name. But that portrayed her in the newer Star Trek movie series, also spent time with Nichelle.
Yeah.
And I like that. I liked, you know, that group that was assembled early on.
Yeah. You know. It's an amazing series. So I know we're boring people with
Star Trek.
With our Star Trek banter. But
our Star Trek banter, our... what else? What other series are we throwing at everybody?
And Stargate and Mantis, and
they're like, "Oh, listen,
Sequest.
Listen at these nerds."
Yeah. So we, but I mean, I think they all have a distinct spirituality to them, which, of course, we're going to touch on next season. Especially DS9. DS9 is a very heavily spiritual series with Sisko as the emissary.
Yeah, they dove into a lot of basically various faiths and being respectful of various faiths. You find that in the original series. You find that in Next Generation. But yeah, it's pretty heavy because one of the core elements of Deep Space Nine is the Bajorans, who are a very spiritual people,
right?
And that comes into the writing a good bit.
It does,
and it gives a lot of food for thought. Some of the early episodes really dove into it, where especially Sisko had several exchanges with different people, mainly his son, talking about respecting other people's faiths and beliefs. And
right.
Just because it's different from ours doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right.
For them. So, yeah.
And also, in that series, we learn a lot about the Klingon faith. Because, you know, Worf joins the series a little ways into it.
Mr. Woof.
And then a lot of exchanges occur about, well, the Bajorans believe this, and then, of course, he'll chime in with what the Klingons believe about that same general topic. And so you learn a lot about the Klingon faith as well in that series.
But and again, it was a part of their world.
Right.
They would come in, come out of those topics, and it wasn't a in-your-face all the time.
Right.
Even Voyager had some good things with Chakotay and Tuvok, too.
Yeah, Chakotay and Tuvok expose us to Vulcan spirituality and kind of a Native American spawn-off, a Native spawn-off religion.
A little behind the scenes on the Voyager, y'all may already know this, but, you know, they had someone that was advising, you know, the writers about Native American spirituality and background. Right. And the person actually was not Native American.
No.
He portrayed himself as, but come to find out he wasn't.
Right.
So there was a lot of things that, you know, obviously our Native American friends would probably go, oh, that was bad,
right,
whatever. But, you know, they didn't realize till down the road that they had, what's the word, a shyster? Or
an imposter.
An imposter.
There's an imposter amongst us.
You know, it would be like me pretending that I'm an expert in Catholicism.
Right.
Because I know how to say Catholicism.
Right.
And I've hung around my Catholic brethren, so
right.
So I'm an expert now.
But Beltran did a good job, I think, of
yeah,
kind of portraying it as faithfully as he could. And
sure,
there are a lot of good episodes. They actually come across a couple of different Native tribes that had ventured out into the universe, out into the galaxy. And he was able to make contact with them and avoid, you know, serious issues with them, which I thought was kind of interesting. And to some degree, you know, Star Trek Next Generation touched on that too. They had an episode where they are asked to remove a Native American group of people from a Romulan controlled world, I think.
Cardassian
controlled world.
Cardassian.
And that's the episode where Wesley reunites with the Traveler and ultimately ends up leaving with the Traveler.
Old head.
Yeah. And so but that was a good episode. It touched on some really important issues and some issues that were pertinent to that day involving our interactions with Native peoples. And so I thought it was a very good episode in that.
Picard gives an impassioned speech about, yet again, we're asking these people to be uprooted, as happened centuries prior. Yeah, again, I mean, that one's a little heavier, but it's done in such a way that it makes you think. Again, you have to put yourself in when this was. This is in the early 90s.
Right.
And so I think it's an excellent thought process in there.
You had to give Gene Roddenberry props because of the stuff he came up with during the show, but also touching on humanity's struggles. And the thing for me was, mostly he was not a religious man at all.
Mm-mm. No, he was.
Yeah,
he was very much a. I don't think he considered himself an atheist, or
I think he more considered himself a humanist.
A humanist.
I mean, the episode Measure of the Man, where they're wanting to replicate Data,
right?
Disassembling the record. They, Picard and Guinan, was played by Whoopi Goldberg, they deal with slavery,
right,
in that episode. Partly, you know, the other part is the rights of an individual who is an individual,
right,
a unique person. You know, do we treat somebody as property just because they're different than us? Right. That because Data is different. So
but it's very much sentient, and you know, that goes to the whole thing of, you know, because he's sentient, you know, what rights does he have as a sentient human being? And it's a very interesting discussion to have, and it plays even to this day, because, you know, with the development of AI and everything else, mm-hmm. we're now facing the possibility of sentient computers, essentially. Computers that are self-aware and can think for themselves. And, you know, so that's a discussion that we as human beings now have to start having on a real basis, you know. Yeah. And Star Trek envisioned that as a problem decades ago.
It did.
And here we are now standing on the edge of that precipice.
You know, thinking about that, and looking at today's apps on the App Store, especially on Apple and Google Play Store, you look at there's an app out there called Pi. I messed around with it for a little bit, and I really don't, you know, it's okay, but it is what it is. But, you know, you have to think about in the future, is that app going to turn into an actual robot or an actual, you know, moving, right, functioning being?
Right.
And at what point does it become sentient?
Right.
Because it's this app, it's funny, you have a conversation with it, and it thinks and talks, and I mean, it's just that it has a whole conversation with you.
Well, the creator of ChatGPT has already said that some versions of ChatGPT are passing the Turing test. The Turing test was developed by Alan Turing, the father of modern computing. It basically says, at what point does a computer stop being a computer and start becoming a sentient being?
Mm-hmm.
And ChatGPT's founder has already said that some of their ChatGPT versions are already passing the Turing test, which means they're showing the signs that they're sentient. A good example of this was an article I read the other day on one of the tech blogs. And they did an interview with the founder, and he said, you know, at one point the program began acting erratic, you know, doing things that it shouldn't do. And so they tried to eliminate it off of all the systems in the laboratory, only to find that it had saved itself to a computer that wasn't even networked with the lab system. It found a way to connect itself to that computer and save itself from being destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so they currently don't know how to contain it. They don't know how to stop it. Right now it's contained to their labs, but as best they can tell, it's contained to their labs. They've not found any evidence that's left the lab.
Yeah.
But
we know how well that works.
Right. So, you know, it's already, we're already at that point. And so it's a little scary to some degree, but it's also interesting that we as human beings have created a new form of sentient life. And now is the question, what will we do with it? I mean, how will we utilize it? Will it be utilized as a slave, or will it be given freedom and the ability to choose its own path and choice? And of course, on that same note, how long before it kills us all?
Well, you know, it's funny.
Not to be dark.
You know, it's funny how you mention that, because that's what I work as a chaplain and as a paramedic in the ER. There's a program the doctors are using that they can input. It's AI program, but they can input the patient's complaints, what's going on, what they see, and then the computer spits out a diagnosis and medicines and everything for them. They don't have to do any more thinking anymore.
That's kind of scary. I'm not going to lie. That's kind of scary. So I guess the word of advice on that portion of this podcast is don't piss off your computers.
Yep.
Well,
I know the computer system we have at work, we just upgraded to, when we're typing in notes to a client's file, it'll start handing me the, not how to spell something correctly, but how to complete my sentence.
Right.
Based on my pattern, I'm like, okay, no, we're not doing that. I want to keep typing. because, you know, it also comes to the place that at what point do we become so reliant?
Mm-hmm.
Because we already want so many people to just tell us what to do.
Right.
Versus us figuring out how to solve problems.
Right.
We want other people to solve our problems for us, whether you're paying them to do that or not, you know. And I'm not talking about going to the doctor and consulting somebody that has wisdom and knowledge in areas you don't. I'm just talking about normal everyday things,
right?
You know, how to you know, grocery shopping, and how to handle balancing your budget, all that type of stuff in your personal levels. And, you know, when you're watching people that are in their 30s still needing their mom to get involved with certain things,
right?
Not because of a mental challenge or a disability or anything like that, but they just don't want to learn.
Right.
You know, eventually it's like, okay, what are you going to do when you're in a position that they're not available, or, you know, you've got a computer that's over here just thinking for you? It's like, right. Now what are you devoting yourself to? It's one thing, you know, like in Star Trek, you know, a lot of things, they develop technology so that they can, you know, turn their attention towards, you know, curing a disease or exploring something, and so they create a system that will handle menial tasks on the automatic level. But it's like, at what point do you stop thinking for yourself? You know, what happens if you pull all that away?
Right.
How are you going to function? You know, I was talking to one of, it's funny, I was talking to one of my nephews, and they saw my vast DVD collection of, of course, I'm from that era that would collect DVDs, and I still do. Like, why do you have all these seasons of Star Trek and whatever? It's all on, you know, streaming now.
Right.
It's like, well, what happens when they take it off?
That's right.
This same nephew came to me a few weeks later and said, hey, do you know where I can get the order this DVD or whatever? Because they took one of my shows off of streaming, and I've realized that I want my own copy so that I can enjoy it whenever I want to. I say, old school now.
Now you understand.
Now you understand the method to my madness.
Right. Well, yes. And, you know, I don't have as many DVDs anymore, but I do feel that. I do fully feel that.
There's something, if I'm really invested in something, I'll buy the series, or the show, or the movie. I do not own the last two Star Wars movies because...
Well, they were crap.
I try not to bring trash into my house.
That's another topic for another podcast.
Yeah.
The terrible last two movies of Star Wars. Well, folks, we're nearing the end of this episode.
Hope we've inspired your faith with this final episode.
We've talked about a lot of things tonight, and hopefully some of it will help you. If nothing else, it'll give you something to watch over the month that we are on break. And we'll be back the first Saturday in October with the first episode of Season 10 of Expanding Your Faith. So I hope you'll join us then. Until then, thank you, Reverend Mark and Bishop Ben, for being here. And hopefully we'll see you both in Season 10.
I'm not going anywhere. I can't.
That's right. But until then, God loves you and so do we. Keep shining bright, my friends. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.